Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
To the War Master Podcast, episode 128.
Hello, listeners.
It's fucking cold in here.
It's grim.
Like, this is going to be the Northern Studio Stroke Workshop.
Yeah.
With a Caligas fire because it's a little bit chilly this afternoon.
Which looks ancient.
It is ancient. It says cozy glow.
Cozy glow.
Without the W.
I mean, look at its decor. It's like
70s.
It's massively, yeah. It's
70s,
so, it's absolutely. So 70s.
It's got bay, it's brown and brown. It's like two-tone brown.
There's a bit of red.
With a red go faster stripe.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll tell you, when we're winter, when I have to work in here,
I
need that going an hour before I can come in, because there's no insulation in this. Single skin of bricks. There's fucking holes as big as you could throw, like, conkers through them. They're so big.
They are quite big. Yep.
Anyway, this is what I go. This is the suffering I do to deliver these little demons and ogre bastards to people.
If you say so.
Right, so it's been a little while since we've had a proper recording. We're going to do an hour. Yeah. It's going to be an old army review.
Yes, it is.
Dogs of War.
Yep.
Which when we talk about, we'll explain why I hate flabby lists, because this is the very definition of a fucking flabby list.
Yeah, I mean, when I come to telling you about my build, I was like, well, why would you have that unit? Like, yeah.
Well, I don't know.
But it highlights, like, there's no need to have some units on it.
Because it's Dogs of War, isn't it? Because it's a bit of everything, but you end up with, like, a smorgasbord of stuff, just random stuff. It's like, it's bonkers. I think there's 12 unit entries.
Yeah, it's loads. Yeah.
Anyway. Including fucking giants, birdmen, silly little cannons. Anyway, we'll talk about that a bit later.
That's
the main thing. We've got a week in War Master.
Yep.
Which is probably more like a fucking month in War Master.
More likely.
At this stage. What have Paul and Barry been doing? And then the main topic is the Dogs of War Army Review Revolution Edition.
That's right.
It's probably going to be tier 2, because every fucking tier 2 we need to redo that.
We really do. Like, in fact, should we have an episode where we
when we finish, we'll go back and redo them all.
Oh, okay. Right.
When we get to number 23.
Okay, if that's what... Well, I'd rather do it earlier, but, like, if that's what you want...
But then we'd have to redo it. Yeah, I think it'd be good to redo it.
Okay.
Well, that was Slanesh.
Yes. Yeah.
There's one Deaden there.
Yeah, I know. He's fixing.
Deaden.
Yeah.
Deaden. Right, so, first, what have you been doing, Mr. Paul? It's been a while since we did a What Has Paul Been Fucking Doing? Painting red, it looks like.
So, painting-wise, I have brought this demon army I've painted. Though it's not finished, obviously. There's more units of these guys back at home.
It's very red. They're not as red. They're more purpley.
Yeah, they're Slaanesh. Yeah, because your Kickstarter does, as in, yeah. So I'm lucky enough, because I know the man.
Come here and steal them.
Come here and steal them. Is that I get hold of the models before they're out for being posted to Kickstarter.
Well, you actually got some of the models when they were just was on the pre-production models.
Yeah, exactly. So get them painted up so Barry can put them on social media and make them very nice. And so what I've done is then I've supplemented what I'm waiting for with Slaanesh demons, because I wanted some demon cavalry. That guy's finished, Barry. That guy's finished. And also, I wanted to use a great demon. I really like the look of the Slaanesh one.
Very nice.
So
how many foot have you got then?
It's going to be 6 units.
Oh, that's a minimum, isn't it?
But when it isn't, like I say, like this list that I'm going to use at the Triwiz isn't like optimal. It's what I've managed to gather together. But it's a 2,000. Yeah, it's a 2,000 point list, and I would. It's not what I would play if I had the whole army list to choose from, but I don't.
Because you would have chariots.
I would probably have some chariots, yeah.
Really? And why would that be so? Anyway, we're not here to talk about the chariot issue. Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing blinds of painting. Now, for this painting, because I thought your demons would be a really good contrast paint army.
Right.
And they are. I mean, because...
Bizarre!
Because that look is so easy to do. So easy. All it is 2 coats of the red for the...
So you're undercoating black, you're not even...
No, you're painting black. I'm using Wraithbone, so it's a white undercoat.
Right, okay. You know, like, and then you're painting in the black afterwards, after the red.
Painting in the black.
Yeah, because like some of the stuff's black.
Yeah, yeah, there's some spot details, yeah, and that's it.
Black. Yeah.
So, but as a look, I mean, yes, I could paint red better, but I don't need to because you know the rule of 4 foot.
You don't even need to dry brush.
No.
On the spines or anything.
No, no, okay. Mate. That is the so that uses the brightest red that the range has, and the sun actually using the brightest purple that it has, and all it is two coats. Done.
I mean, why two? Why is it not done on one?
Because
coat?
One coat doesn't quite get everywhere that you want it to go. Always. Right.
So then it's easier to do it on a grey or something and get more coverage off the one coat.
I suppose you could, but I've used two coats. Yeah.
Huh?
It's my first time working with contrast paint. It's not paint that you water down. It's applied straight from the tub,
right,
onto the model. You know, and yeah, yeah. Even the best, yeah. You know, like you're always going to miss somewhere with the first coating, aren't you? Yeah, you know, like so. It's easier just to do a whole second coat as well. Yeah, and there we go. So a little spoiler: my demon list for that would be 6 demon hordes, 4 demon swarms, 2 demon cavalry, 4 demon hounds, 1 greater demon.
I'm not sure about him, fella.
Oh no, he's great. Like, yeah, like,
how is he better than the dragon rider that we always lambast?
Because the dragon rider only has 6 hits, doesn't he? While this greater demon has more.
Mm.
Yes. And then a demon overlord who's got demonic wings, favour of the gods, and wizard. He's a wizard. Loads of points in him. Yeah. Then a demon lord hero, and with a sword of cleaving, and 2 demon sorcerers. That'll be my list.
So favour of the gods, is that not the thing?
Makes him cause terror.
Why have you given that to your general?
Because this awesome model is clearly a general model.
Hmm.
And I will commit.
Exactly.
Because
fluff
then
over rules, yeah.
Because then he's got 2, 3.
It doesn't matter how many fucking attacks he's got.
4 or 5 attacks, doesn't he?
And what, when he's trapped in a unit that pops at the beginning of turn.
That is the issue. But it ain't going to happen.
That would make me laugh. He's safe. He's in a unit with 1 stand. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Yeah, and yeah, as I say, if your second Kickstarter was out, yeah, where you've done the whole range.
Oh, yeah,
and it was
next
all,
year.
It was
so we're going back in future to
I'm
the
just saying,
2020.
If it was,
which
this
will
isn't the list that I would play with. It's the list that I've gathered. You know?
So you're telling me you've put a quarter of your army into a general, a fighty general, and a fucking...
Great demon.
A great demon.
It can fly.
Good luck with that.
Mate, it is going to knock things out of the park.
Until it comes against Slayers or Whale Knights or something and just fucking ruin it.
I'm still going to win. Yeah, like, yeah. But it's, you know,
still going to win.
I mean, I would have been playing Skaven, but there's, like, you know, but I mean, there's beautiful.
But you want to win.
But no, I mean, there's beautiful position where I've got 2 armies to kind of show off. Though the, you know, so Comity Forge's Skaven are like available to everybody.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, yeah, the Kickstarter. So that'll be the next project. Like, that'll be the next thing I paint up is them. You know, I'm doing.
Okay, what about games? Talked about painting.
Been
playing?
Games. Well, I missed the club last week because daughter was injured.
That happens.
Yeah.
Life.
Yeah,
who
sad,
are you due
sadly.
To play?
Yeah, I was going to play Phil at Warmaster, so we're playing on Wednesday instead.
Right.
We rearranged. We pushed it back a week.
He's playing his fucking. I've got to talk about that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah.
a good list.
Ooh,
spicy old list.
What did, I don't think I have played. Have I? No, no. So when. What was I playing when. Yeah. Oh, Bolt Action. Yeah, I played Eric. Yeah, Bolt Action using said Italians. Am I
28 mil?
Yeah, 28 mil. Yeah.
You can't get many for the pound in that, do you?
What, Italians?
I mean, models for
no,
for
no, no,
a game
no, no.
That,
it's nice. It's cool. It's like it's. I've been playing Bolt Action a bit recently, and it's. You can see it's an earlier version of 40k. Like, you know, it's the same. The rules are very. Oh, I remember this. It's like 40k used to be, and it is. Yeah, you know, like. But the my poor Italians got a bit overmatched by a much better tank. You know, like then because the Italians don't have a good tank.
Don't have anything, do they?
They have.
Armored,
they have. Well, they have. Oh. They have a technically medium. They call it a medium tank,
yeah.
But it really is a light tank. Yeah, you know, like yeah, very good. But the model's lovely. And
light
it's cool.
Tank with a bigger gun.
I mean, and again, when it comes round, when I come round to painting them up, being World War II stuff is so easy to paint.
I don't know.
It is where you don't
pay. Well, why do you? What's the attraction with Italians? That's not the first scale you've done Italians in.
I don't know.
Finnish.
Yeah,
or something
yeah
crazy.
I know. And he could be playing Finnish, and he's not. It's weird. Yeah. But it's like You're exactly right. Like, I just seem to be drawn to Italians for World War II. I don't know why. Because I just find them funny. You know, like,
yeah, they were all over the place, weren't they? They had epic, there was a lot going on in Italy. It wasn't, mm-hmm. wasn't straightforward, the journey.
And then, like, for fantasy, I'm also naturally drawn to Skaven. You know, I have a couple of games of Warmaster lined up to get my head round demons before I go win the Triwiz with them.
Win the Triwiz.
You mean defend?
Defend the Triwiz.
Because this was the one you won last year.
Yeah!
It was, with Orcsies.
Orcsies, go smash. Right, so other things that I was going to come out to say is so there's been chat on one of the WhatsApp groups about doing a Blood Bowl League game.
Why would you do such a thing?
I'm just, well, it's not for you, you know, like, because you'll quit after one match. You know, like,
I'll quit, I'll realise when
life is too
short. In fact,
will you even play a match? Nah. You know, like, good, at least we've saved that annoyance. I put onto the Blood Bowl community Facebook group. But two statements. I've long thought about Blood Bowl.
We're not going to go the 2-minute turn route again, are we?
No.
Because that's the only thing I'm interested in.
Yeah. Two things that I've long about Blood Bowl is like I felt like should be the case of the game, and it's hilarious just the bile, like the rabidness of like the responses back. So basically, I put it like a statement,
blocks too good.
Well, statement. I say skill progression in Blood Bowl is a science. If you roll up a stat increase, you get it. If you take it, you know, 90% of cases, and then you choose block and dodge. And if you can't do any of those options, you choose something else.
Well, no, or guard if you're a dwarf.
No, but like, so, yeah, but say in 90% of cases.
Yeah.
And discuss. Literally how I wrote it. Like, that's what I'm saying. That's what I
would take agility on most bashy teams.
And the rapidness that people like replied back, it was hilarious. It was like, it's like poking the bear. I couldn't help it. I was just
right.
Like,
so what did you achieve apart from bile?
You can see a few agreed with me, but it's like people they can't suffer. Like, the fans of the game,
they're too invested in the game.
Can't let you say anything negative about it.
For some people, Blood Bowl is the only game.
Yeah.
They play it all the time.
And the other statement I put up was that, what was it? I'm just trying to think now. The other statement was, yeah, like, Blood Bowl, as a like a single dice system for like throwing and catching, for example, like a lot of the movement of the game are single dice interactions, is bad. Like, because a single dice only gives you, six possible results. It would be better if it was a D8, a D10, like, so it had more increments of failure, so you could expand the creative, like, you know, how good an elf is compared to how bad an orc is at, like, catching, for example, where, like, because it's a single D6 system, it's limited enough.
Well, you wouldn't think it would have much difference, but it is.
Yeah.
That extra one is big,
and
the 2 to 3 are big.
Again, like, people could not handle that as a statement.
Well, I've heard that they're going to bring in a new stat.
A new stat?
Yeah, so there's going to be a throwing stat.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So it allows... I don't quite understand why or what. So it's going to... And elves are going to be the same as humans in this throwing department, apparently.
So,
but it's meant to make throwing easier rather than harder.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they're going to do to make it easier rather than harder.
Maybe you can't intercept it.
That's a skill, isn't it? You have to have a skill to stop you intercepting. There's like some kind of... There is a skill that stops people intercepting.
Safe throw.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But or maybe they make the deep. Maybe you can only intercept if you've got a learned skill, like of to intercept.
I don't think intercepting is the issue. I think the fucker not catching it is the issue, or you not throwing it accurately is the issue. Because most like hardcore Blood Bowl players won't pass unless they're using elves.
Yeah,
they just won't fucking do it. What's the point? Even with elves, I mean, dark elves people barely fucking pass with anyway.
Short pass at best, isn't it?
Yeah, or don't bother, just hand it over.
After you've handed over, yeah. Like, yeah.
So, I mean, the game system's certainly shown its age, but there's a reboot coming next year, so anything's possible.
Well, the thing that I found funny was that, I don't know, it, like, led me down this rabbit hole of most people just reply, like, literally, I thought the best reply, the winning reply to me, to, like, this statement, was a reply literally saying, I can't be bothered to reply.
Yeah.
And that's your reply.
Oh, that's it.
And you're like, Well, you just have replied.
Yeah, but he can't. He doesn't want to. he doesn't want to grace you with any detail.
But it's like
you're unworthy of detail.
It's like, oh god! I thought it was hilarious. It's just like the bile. Anyway, we're not.
Anyway, so I'm trying to sell out of Blood Bowl. I think that's one of the things I'm going to do at the end of this year, early next year.
What, your old teams?
Yeah, all my painted teams.
Yeah.
Because if it's going to reboot, there's a danger that stuff gets made obsolete, which happened with. It doesn't happen often, but it happened with Mompocalypse.
Yeah.
I had a lot of Mompocalypse stuff, and I think, oh, they're going to reboot it, They did reboot it, but they made everything obsolete.
Yeah, killed you.
Oh, that's really bad.
Yeah, killed you.
That's really bad.
I mean, that's happened to me with a kill team recently.
Yeah,
actually.
But kill team's small.
Yeah,
small
beans. Kill team's surprisingly. Yeah, I was surprised. I thought it'd be more popular.
But imagine if they did that with a big game. Like, they kind of did with Age of Sigmar, didn't they?
Yeah. So, the other thing there are two other quick points I bring in, though, because I find them funny. Is for Middle-Earth strategy battle game. So GW's recently done cards for it, which are like War Machine stat cards.
Which they don't do anymore, by the way.
Well, yeah, which War Machine doesn't do, but
for a reason.
Yeah, like anyway.
Because they're never in date.
Yeah. Anyway, they're really nicely printed production, like nice, you know, like not over expensive for what they are, and they sell out immediately. Like,
well, completely superfluous to the game. You don't need
at all. But again, seeing people's reactions when they try to buy them and they are sold out is hilarious. It's just like, I was busy eating breakfast. By the time I got to my phone after eating breakfast, they were sold out.
You shouldn't have had breakfast.
It's like, well, you just answer your own question.
Your priorities aren't right,
it's like, why were you eating breakfast? It's like,
I wanted to go to Glastonbury because it's the 50th anniversary. And I fell asleep, and it all sold out. No, I can't go. I'm never going to Glastonbury again.
I know, that's what people like. It's like, the top statement by somebody was that they were going to quit playing the game system because they couldn't get these cards.
Good.
And you're like, so this is a product that didn't exist, and you were playing the game system.
Yeah.
Now GW makes it exist, but you didn't get it in time, and that makes you stop playing the game system.
You can make your own.
Yeah. It's like,
just leave.
Yeah,
leave. Like, favour.
Just make your own. Like, it's so bad. Just, like, write it down.
What's
that
list builder app that I use? It's about old Scry. It prints it all out for you, mate. What do you need?
Yeah. The other thing, you're talking about, like, reselling of models. And I'm doing very well for reselling of models at the moment. Like, loads of money. But, if you want an example of like which company out there is doing the best, like this, I don't know what stronger example you would need for this. So I've been selling a bunch of stuff recently, just like, you know, clearing space and raising funds, and it was really hard to sell Guild Ball stuff online, like for any decent money at all.
But I haven't tried to sell my stuff.
There's no market.
It's like War Machine, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like I was trying to sell a Mason's team, which is, you know, finished, basically, like, has all the players, it's nicely done. Not that I, you know, type myself, I wouldn't say, I'm not pro-painted, but tabletop painted.
Yeah, yeah.
All the dice and tokens, everything you need to play that faction. Couldn't give it away. You know, like, okay, maybe Masons aren't a popular faction, but just could not give it away. A beaten up old Lehman Russ tank, which I don't know how I've still had, like, I was like in some bits box. I was like, I'll probably sell that. Went for more money. You know, and it's like.
But Lehman Russ are usable now.
Yeah, yeah,
aren't they?
I'm just saying. It's just like this beat up old plastic tank I've given no love to, which, you know, the only thing you can say about it is it's built. You know, like, you know, went for more, right, second hand value than this bespoke, worked on. Like,
but you sold your Gilball team.
Yeah, but like it's in that Lehman Russ went for more, and I was just like, never ever throw GW stuff away. Sell
never
it.
Throw it away.
Never, just throw it
everything's
away.
Everything's worth money.
Yeah,
even old beaky marines.
Yeah,
old, everything's worth money. Old plastic shit marines. Everything.
I mean, it's just like I was amazed. I was just like, how is this Lehman Russ tank? I was going to put in the bin. Made actually, like, how has it done that? But there you go. I mean, and you looked at the amount of views and watches, it was way more like interest in like knackered old GW stuff.
Right, cool. Right, I bet you're on with my stuff. What have I been doing? A bit of Magic. They're still ticking along just about.
What is happening with your club?
Well, they've given Magic a bit of a new lease of life by... It's quite clever what they did. So,
stopping the online game?
Huh?
Can you no longer play the online game?
Oh, you can definitely play the online game. But they've invented a new format which is much more friendlier to new players, which has also made a lot of cards that had no value worth stopping again.
What's the format?
So it's from about... From when I started playing, actually. The very first set, Return to Ravnica, that I started playing, which is probably about 8 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
From that set to now.
Right.
So their cards are all legal from that set to now.
Oh, okay.
So most of those cards were worthless after they rotated out of the standard.
Yeah, yeah.
But now they're not.
So what is it? Just like an expand, like just a bigger, giving you a bigger card set to build?
Yeah, yeah. So in ages, as the vintage is the biggest set, Legacy, then modern, which is the one I play most.
Yeah, yeah.
And now they've made another one called Pioneer.
Pioneer.
And then the shortest one is called Standard. That's the last two years.
Yeah.
So this Pioneer set has like caused a big influx of money. Because like cards now that were worth nothing are now worth money again.
Okay.
So everybody's made money that had cards.
Right.
Which is cool.
Okay.
And then people want to play this format. So cool. Crack on. So it's weird. They do like two horrendously bad things and then they do a horrendously good thing. And it kind of... Magic is a weird one.
Two steps forward, one step back.
Yeah, but the step forwards are massive.
Yeah.
So it's like two steps back, one step forward. But when they go forward, sometimes they go forward a long way.
Okay.
I played a game called Great War, which is that Richard Borg type game. So Battle Lore.
Okay.
Memoir 44, but it's set in the Great War.
Right.
So
who'd you play that with, Nick?
Gary.
Gary. Oh, your special friend. Special friend.
So. It's by Plastic Soldier Company, and they did it on a Kickstarter.
Yeah, yeah.
And he bought all of it as a Kickstarter. I think it wasn't that big an investment as Kickstarters go. So there's the box set, then there's a tank set, and I think there's like a set that brings in maybe, I can't remember which side it is. Russians, but no, they weren't in the First World War, were they much? Italian, somebody.
Right, okay.
Maybe it was the French.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, there you go, it's the French.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they're not in the main set, because most of the fighting's in fucking France, isn't it?
Famously, so. Yeah.
Like, so yeah. Allies against, or whatever you were, against the Germans, and then they bring in the French as the third. Anyway, so my big concern was how static the game would be, because it's all fucking...
Trench warfare,
yeah. Like, for every scenario, there's like 80-odd scenarios over the three books, and like 95% of them are trench-on-trench battles.
Yeah, yeah. If it's trying to be accurate to the time period, it would be. Yeah.
So it's like, how the fuck do I get out of my trench, go across no man's land?
With a creeping barrage of artillery.
Yeah, well, there's some artillery in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got machine guns and stuff.
Yeah,
you and don't... then in the early scenarios, there's no tanks.
Yeah.
So it's like, how the fuck do you get from A to B? From my trench to your trench without dying?
Well, you die a lot, but they're like...
Send more men. So it turns out what they did is they invented a new type of card. So you know you have your cards where it says, like, probe left or attack right or...
Left, middle, right. Okay. Yeah.
So there's another set of cards which are, like, tactics cards or, like, cards you can play during combats and stuff. Some of those cards are nuts.
Right, okay.
So, like, one, for example, like that I won the game on was I could move four hexes and then battle as normal. Now, considering a normal infantry can move one hex and battle...
Right, okay, yeah.
I can now move four times as far and battle. So
What was that card called?
I don't know. That's like, let's go and get up and out.
Let's stop dying in the open.
So it's like, if I hadn't drawn that card, I'm not sure I'd have got across the trench. But because I drew that card, I moved from my side to his side, into his trench, and killed his machine gun.
No.
In one turn.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that's pretty good. But it's pretty game warping, that card. I don't know how many of those cards, because we only played one game, are going to be in the game. But, so far, so good. But obviously, like, as it gets more involved, there's more stuff in No Man's Land. So we didn't have barbed wire in No Man's Land.
Yeah.
We didn't have craters from the bombardment. Because it's like
down.
A pre-game bombardment that blows holes everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
So this move four squares and then battle would likely not get you to the other side.
Yeah.
You'd have to be in No Man's Land first.
Yeah, because something would stop you.
Yeah. So we will see how bogged down it gets.
Okay.
There's a reason they haven't done it in the World War, in that war.
It's not famously dynamic. If I remember my history, the World War I started dynamic and ended dynamic. But the vast majority of it was trench warfare. Because
trench on trench, yeah,
which was a bloody stalemate and massive casualties.
It was interesting because the weekend before, we just completely randomly, I was watching Blackadder Goes Forth.
Hello,
darling.
one of the funniest things on TV. It's like, oh yes, doing exactly the same thing we've done 20 times before. Catch the watchful hunt off guard.
He thinks he's getting off the front by becoming an artist, and it turns out they want him to go in No Man's Land and paint.
And it's like, but my medium is light. I can't see. I will fire up some flares. And we lit up like a Christmas tree.
Superb. So that was good. And then I played War Master against Phil. Mm-hmm. That was, again, the week before last.
OG Phil.
Because last week I had my family issues with a hospital trip and general anaesthetics and stuff. It's been busy old days. And the game was... I mean, his list is good.
Mm-hmm.
He has changed it a little bit.
Because I'm probably going to be playing it on Wednesday.
Well, I think I talked him down from the shooting. Right. So he had... 6 archers.
That's quite a few, isn't it?
Well, considering they're completely disposable.
Yeah.
2 squires.
Yep.
He had his normal package of 3 knights, 2 grey knights, 2 peg knights.
So breakpoint 5.
4.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
No trebuchets.
Okay.
His character pack was pretty straightforward. He had it's Pegasus that did the mini one. So here on a Pegasus, 2 wizards on unicorns, 1 with the ring of magic, and a general in a tent at the back where he belongs. And
not on a hippogriffin.
Very Hiddenstonian. And the rest, I think he must have just had whatever. What are they got? Men at arms or some peasant? Not peasants. The next level up. Men at arms. Men at arms. So the rest was for those. So what he decided to do was not expose anything that meant anything.
Yeah.
As you would.
Yeah. Good
so
tactics.
I had a bit of artillery because I'm playing ogres, and we're testing out my new rule of supporting ogres with greenlings. But the weight of even chaff shooting is horrific. If you've got 8 units of bows that are shooting.
Yeah. Well, he managed to get use out of the ball. Like,
so if you split them in so that you've got like 4 bows shooting on 1 flank.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. You don't care if they get charged.
Who cares?
Just line them all up in a big line and just shoot away.
Yeah.
And then 4 on the left, 4 on the right.
Yeah.
Even if they take off a stand of ogres, which they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's massive.
Yeah.
that really is enormous. Yeah. When you're fighting, you've got your fighting forces like 4 bulls, 2 iron goats, 2 rhinox riders.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Every stand is like, that stings, man.
It's precious.
Mm-hmm. And then you're getting pushed back, which you don't want to be doing. You're getting maybe confused. And it's like, fuck. So like he's making stands off, and it's like, right, we've got to keep this under control. He sent a peg knight in to get my artillery, and he tried to ring a magic in, and the spell scrolled it, and then I managed to eat 1 unit peg knights.
Yeah, that's good.
Because my Rhinox Riders got them, even though it was in the front, it didn't matter. Smash. There's too many attacks.
Yeah, too many attacks, yeah. So overwhelmed them.
And then... in the middle, I managed to charge some bulls into the archers. The archers were in big, long lines, unsupported, because you don't care.
Yeah. The
and the weight of shooting on the way in, 6 shots on the way in.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you hitting with? 3? So I got 2 wounds.
Yeah.
That's normal.
Yeah.
And then, so 9 attacks.
Yeah, they're all...
12 attacks.
Yeah.
12 attacks on me, and I'm doing 15 back.
Mm-hmm.
So unless I wipe him out, he's doing like 6, another 4 or 3. Mm. So he's taking like stand and a half.
Put
a
Terracauser in there.
I ain't risking my bloody... I ain't got that many characters,
That's
man.
Why you fail.
I've only got 3 characters. I can't start using the Rhinox riding wizard.
Yeah.
Because he needs to go and do the work with the Rhinoxes. So anyway, I lost that combat. My bulls lost against archers.
Who weren't supported.
Well, apart from they were touching another unit on.
Yeah,
so there's like
one support.
So how many shots is that on the way in? 3?
6?
No, it's not. It's 18 shots or something nuts.
What?
No, it's 6 shots. Six shots. So 2 wounds
Yeah.
on the way in.
Yeah.
And then 12 attacks, so it's another 4 wounds. 6 wounds.
Yeah.
And on the way back, I didn't do the dice, obviously, because I should have done more wounds, but I didn't.
Well, was your unit supported? Your unit?
No.
Yeah. You're like...
So then it all came down to a massive charge on a 9 and a 7 with my 2 units of Rhinox, who had to go all the way past his army into the backfield where he's hiding his knights.
Of course, yeah.
So he had two Grail Knights, one either side, and he had his four Knights on. Yeah. So anyway, I had to get to this back side because I only got one break. I needed to get four, so I need to get three more. So I got both units of Rhinox Riders and my bull, Rhinox Wizard, into his units of Knights, and I ate them, the ones I hit, but the damage back was just too much. So I killed two units, but there was nothing left of my Rhinox Riders. Because that's what four up armour does. You think, oh yeah, I'm all right, you lose a stand to this unit, and then he spikes some dice. I think he rolled 12 dice or something and hit like 11, and I lost like 6 wounds. It's like, oh my god. So both my, after I killed two units, and I needed one more to win, I had two single stand units of Rhinox Riders left. And that's it. It was like, and then he had his remaining three units of Knights to just mop them up. So game was done.
Charge.
So what am I going to kill these Knights with if I can't kill them with my Rhinox Riders?
Well, I mean, remember the Bretonian Knights, they must charge. So if you can, you can string them where you want them to go. Like,
with
string,
what?
Well, you
considering
have,
they're behind. Some,
I mean, you haven't got the. It's not a good army to do it. But I'm just saying, like, if say you had a unit, say you were an army that had light cavalry. They're like designed. That's perfect for that because they. So they. The knights must charge them when you set. You set it up so you leading the units where they. You want them.
So you only want one stand touching. Otherwise, they'll kill you.
Like, and then they come piling in. You would only get one round of combat because your light cavalry can run. You know, like away afterwards, and so hopefully something of it survives. And then, and these knights are then stranded out of position. Or you play on the benefit that you want them to wipe you out in one round because they must advance, and you set up another trap. So that unit's there, they charge there, they're dead, and then the knights must come into my next round where I'll kill them. So it's tricky, but that remembering like you, those knights have no, he has no control over those knights.
But also the ogre's list is a bit brute force, blunt instrument in it. So it's like my foot ogres could not get past the line of shooting.
No,
so like, the stuff in the back, they can't get there. When they got there, there was nothing left of them. They shot to pieces.
Well, because
everything
good
counts.
Good, so
I think, but he needed another hero.
Yeah.
So I think he's losing two units.
So are you going to be using ogres at trials?
No. And I can't fight through stuff like that. And God help me if I come against cannons.
Yeah. Boom, boom, boom.
Because what am I going to do?
What
against
are
cannons?
You going to use at trials? Lizardmen?
Probably.
So you know how to do
it. It's a drug, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I only lost one game in a tournament with them, and that was because the scenario fucked me. I couldn't play the scenario with my army.
Yeah.
So, and there are no scenarios in this game.
No, it's just great. It's it'll be three sit at the back, you know, run out the clock games.
So if I keep my army in a solid block, it's really hard to beat.
Yeah.
But if I try and spread out, my command goes wrong, and I get picked apart by elves. I'll just fit this in. It's not really weak, it shouldn't really weaken Warmaster, but there was a discussion about ancients and shock. You know, the shock
cavalry, or the rule.
Yeah.
So we're
slow, isn't it? So slow. So artillery have slow.
Yes.
Certain types of artillery, like the Ongar.
So if they have a subsequent order, is an additional negative.
Yeah, a negative one. So the third order is a negative two, plus all the other potential negative distance or whatever, and the order of negatives. So I was looking, the very, very heavy cavalry, the stuff that's game breaking, like the 3-3-4, in ancient, has slow.
It's slow, not surprised.
So that means the first order, say, on a 9.
Yeah.
Second order, you've got the second order, so that's minus 1.
Yeah.
And if you came within 20,
so it's minus 7.
So
9, 7.
And then the third order, be like minus 4.
Minus 4. Then whatever, anything else matters.
And then any distance.
At least 9.
You'd be down to 5 at best.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be within 20.
No, you wouldn't.
So it takes away the third order is like virtually impossible.
Because they're heavy cavalry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think heavy cavalry moving 90 is like a bit bonkers, isn't it, really?
Yeah. Well, but that's the difference between ancients and Warmaster.
No, I'm saying so. What could you do to. That would be a way to tone down heavy cavalry without breaking the rest of the game. Because, like, if they had something like a rule that prevented that third order or made
hang on, it might. Oh, that's a thought. So it might give. It might give a roll back to medium cavalry.
Yeah, exactly, because you could get a third order on them easier.
Much easier. So what, you'd say 4 plus cavalry has the rule slow?
That might be too painful, because, I mean, you could still use chariots, couldn't you? You could still get the third order on chariots. I think the third order is right. Somebody said against you, even the third order on light cavalry was bad enough, or dogs, or whatever. If that third order means you're hitting a flank, because you've moved 90 centimetres from one side to hit you in the flank. It doesn't matter what you're hitting in the flank, it's going to sting, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you're at Empire Knights and you get hit in the flank, you've only got two attacks at best. If you put Terror Causer in, that's one attack. Even dogs are going to eat your part in the flank.
Yeah, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Well, you could put that rule in everything.
I don't know if you'd want it on everything.
Yeah.
But it definitely would slow down... definitely would slow down heavy cav.
Yeah. Right.
But it was just interesting because I'm sure somebody said it didn't. They didn't have that rule, but I looked in the rule book and they definitely do have that rule.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Weaky Warmaster. So, only a couple of things running around. The Warmaster Rules Committee are working on Nippon.
Yeah, and I didn't realise there was votes to be had. So I've been on the ball. I've done that and cast my votes.
On the ball. Yeah. And also, John spoiled, Comedy Forger spoiled the next range.
Yeah.
Vampire Vikings.
It's Vampire Counts, and he's done it from they're undead Vikings as well, because I guess he likes Vikings.
And also gives a bit of crossover, because enough demand for vampires,
why not? And so far, the stuff looks excellent. I really like the Skeletons and Shield Wall. That looks cool. Shield Wall skeletons.
So there was a skeleton shield wall. There was some like peasants. Were they zombies? I guess
zombies. Yeah.
And there were some ghouls. I think there were the three spoiled. Is that right?
Three
skeleton
ghouls,
zombies and ghouls. Yeah. Cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. Fair play to him, man. Mm-hmm. He's hoping to get them out next year, I think.
I mean, I imagine it will be a case of him having everything ready to go, and then. He spoke about in one of the comments. He spoke about he'll have a web store next year. So when he has a web store when he's got four armies for sale.
Shit.
But at the moment it's working exclusively to Kickstarter, which is then he has everything ready to go. And then
thing you could do in Kickstarter is you can offer previous ranges as part of what you do.
Yes. Yeah.
I've seen people do that a lot.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
So they say, here's the Kickstarter for Vikings, whatever they are. And you could also put Skaven in there.
Yes. Why not? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair play to him. So mm-hmm. That'd be good because you could double dip them, couldn't you? You could use them as Norse, mm-hmm. You could use them as vampires.
You definitely could use them as Norse, couldn't you? I spoke to him, I said that with Vampire Counts, I've never liked the concept of what a black coach is. Like, it just seemed a bit dumb. A taxi for a vampire? No. So do that as something else. And he's got ideas already, in place of, how he's going to represent a black coach. And a lot of people are asking, is he going to do the complete range? Or, yes, he will.
Yeah, he did this game, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. So. He did more than a complete range.
Yeah, right. Cool.
Attention! If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes, and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today! Soft foam, hard cases.
So, we're going to talk about Dogs of War?
Yep.
Dogs of War. So, Paul's the fluff. There is no fluff for these bastards, is there?
Well, I mean the fluff of it is. I mean, okay, as a concept, it's mercenaries, and who traditionally don't have a lot of history, do they? They're not like the Golden Company from Game of Thrones.
I think there was a fourth edition codex or army book or whatever they were called.
That was the only time they did have any fluff at all. And they did the units as... They were quite cool. They were
Dwarf pirates.
Yeah, long drones pirates. And every unit, was a race and a unit... And they had, a unit of pikemen. You know,
some dark elf...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bowman
yeah,
bastards.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that was quite cool. It's different... unique little... sculpts of every unit, which is
I played against a fella that used them in fantasy back in the day.
Oh, right, okay.
And they were you'd have liked them because it was a little bit of everything.
Yeah,
I mean, it never did anything properly well because it had all these little really expensive characters in each unit.
Yeah,
so you took this unit with special
because
character.
They each had a hero leading that you regiment.
So it made everything really expensive.
Yeah,
and small.
Yeah, well,
I mean, he loved it. I mean, he had all the different regiments around, and they were all nicely painted and stuff. But.
I mean, they'd be showing their age now, those models, because they were old sculpts.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so I say fluff wise, you know, I mean, there isn't really much to say, really. I mean, because of what fluff that was written is very old for them. Essentially, mercenary armies. Where there is war, there will be someone doing it for money.
It's interesting that they actually managed to make it into the game, because they're not particularly. They're not that relevant a faction.
No,
really.
They're not at all. I mean, they're an unwritten sub faction that's always there, isn't there? Because it's like, you know. They'll always, yeah. Say
about as relevant as Albion. Albion?
Exactly. But if the fantasy world you're living in has a currency, and those dogs of war were predominantly men of some style. If there's currency, then that means you can pay somebody to do something, and why not pay them to do fighting for you? And other things.
I guess.
Yeah. So I mean, there's not a lot.
So, what do we go through? We go through the list,
army lists,
first.
Yeah.
So,
what was it? Army list. So we go. No, go through the Dogs of War army selector.
Do the army special rule first, because there is one at least. Isn't
No.
Oh, it's just to do with the paymaster.
Yeah. Then there's no universal army rule. So these are guys are vanilla war master living. So every buff and negative that implies is applies for them.
Right.
I mean, but they do have a massive army list. Way too big. And we'll start off with the signature unit, pikemen. You know, these are your 6 up armor, 3 attacks, and they have their unique rule of pikemen, which means they're long messed around as in terms of like.
Well, it had to be because there's a lot going on.
Yeah,
here.
So much going on.
Firstly, they're short based, which is a massive
base like cavalry. Yeah.
So that's why they're 60 points rather than the normal 45 points. Yeah. But they've also got other stuff going on. Mm-hmm. So it says, the pike is a traditional weapon of the mercenaries of Tilia.
Yeah.
Twice as long as a spear and even longer than a cavalryman's lance.
Yeah.
This is truly a fearsome, although rather unwieldy weapon. Due to this, pikemen never benefit from defended or fortified status when in defense range, even partially, or on fortress walls. They may be defended in position on higher ground or behind low obstacles as usual.
So what does that mean is they don't get defended in woods, but they can be defended on hills.
Cool. It says, pikemen count as defended against charging cavalry or chariots to the front.
Yep.
This bonus only applies to the first round of combat of an engagement. That's pretty. That's the same for any defended, isn't it? You're either going to win or lose.
If you push them back, it's going to go. Yeah, yeah.
Note that the rule does not apply when a pikemen are partially in dense terrain.
Yep.
Because they don't have defended.
Yep.
Which is bizarre.
It represents that pikemen are an organized to be packed together, and anything that breaks up the pack together means they can't work. It means they don't defend themselves.
So what they're saying in this example is that if you were outside terrain, you'd be defended.
You'd be defended.
But if you touch terrain to try and claim defended status, then it's not defended against cavalry. You would still be defended against other stuff. But not against cavalry, because that's what it means. Because you're in terrain.
Anyway, pikemen are based as cavalry, narrow edges, and pikemen stands may only give or receive support by other infantry or pikemen stands that are facing the same direction and touch their flank or the hole of their flank. So they can't be supported behind, basically. Any support behind or in front of pikemen is not allowed. In all other respects, they count as infantry. So there's a lot going on there. Now, so what happens is that cavalry, they only have three hits each and 6 up armor. So the cavalry becomes a lot harder for the cavalry to charge them. So to the point where the pikes are so good at deterring the cavalry charge, the cavalry will just do 2 moves and try for a flank instead.
Yeah, although I'm pretty sure if the cavalry did charge them, because they can't be supported very easily, can they?
They'll only have at best one each end, yeah.
At best?
Yeah.
So you're not taking a lot of static combat res. And you're only rolling 3 attacks. They've got 4 up armour. It's harder for them to hit you. But when they hit you, it's going to hurt.
Yeah. So if we take your standard knight unit, which is 3-3-4. So they charge a unit of pikes.
You're only getting 9 attacks.
They only get 9 attacks and they hit on 5s. So 2/3 will hit. That means 3 attacks get in.
It's mostly two and a half wounds.
Let's say it does 3 wounds. Round up to 3. So, but then the pikes will hit back with 9 attacks if they're just by themselves. Of which 4 to 5 hits would get in. It'd be about even. About even. You know, and where before, if the unit wasn't pikemen, they'd be run over pretty fast.
But they'd have support, and they'd be potentially...
No, no, in our hypothetical, we're saying...
With no support.
But no, we're saying...
Yeah,
one
unsupported
unit,
infantry should get run down by cavalry.
Yeah, exactly.
As you'd expect.
Yeah. So they really changed that. And but, yeah, it's they're a weird unit.
I'll tell you what, they are very good on offence.
Yeah.
Because they've got four attacks each on the tight
on a narrow
facing.
Frontage. Yeah, which is weird because they're not meant to be offensive. They're meant to... so it's strange, isn't it?
They're a good unit, but then I didn't want to spend that many 60 points on them. I only took four. Well, I'll be honest. And I think four's the minimum.
No, hang on, don't...
But I'll tell you.
Yeah, okay.
But you think a signature thing like this, with as many rules going on as this...
Yeah.
If I was like a Janus and they were that good and they're unlimited, I'd be taking 8 or 10 or 12. But I didn't, I took 4.
Yeah.
Because you can play around them.
Yeah, exactly. You see, to most cavalry, they would just look to get their face. It does deter them from charging them, but it's really worth the second order trying to move to a flank.
Yeah, I mean, cavalry are way more manoeuvrable. 9-7 into a flank of these.
You eat them. Yeah. You know, like, so then we move on. We have your regular crossbowmen straight out of the Empire list.
55 points.
Straight handgunners.
I've got a lot more respect for these now after playing Bretonians. But the problem with them in a normal list, you've got to take 4 units.
Yeah, yeah.
It's 4 break, and they don't go down hard, do they?
No.
They die easy when you get into them.
Yeah. So you've got your regular crossbowmen from Empire, your regular handgunners from
Empire. I think you can upgrade a couple of units of those, can you?
No, you can't. So that's why Empire have that rule.
I think they talk about that for Nippon, so they'd have to bring that into these as well, realistically.
Well, they haven't. At the moment, Dogs of War, the Revolution list, doesn't. You can't upgrade 2 units of crossbowmen to handgunners.
I think that's a bit fucking mean, considering...
Well,
you've already got 4 units of crossbows. When am I ever going to take more units of shooters? That was the whole issue with Empire.
Well, yeah, exactly.
You just wouldn't do it.
Well, you wouldn't do it. And then you got your handgunners, which are straight out of an Empire list. Then you have swordsmen, which are the same stats
as Halberd is.
I do not know why they're in the army list. Like, I don't know why they're there, swordsmen. You know,
I've got no idea.
Yeah.
I took quite a few of them, though.
All right. Then you've got a unit of ogres. Which you can take, the maximum is 1, so they're a unit of regular ogre balls, for 105 points. That's right, ogre balls are 105.
Yeah.
But you can take, so you mostly get 2 of them. Then you have a unit of dwarves, so your dwarf
just
infantry.
Dwarf warriors,
and you could take up to 4 of them in a 2,000 point list, they're maximum 2. Then you have your marauders, which are your 335 infantry for 60 points.
They've got so many infantry.
I can understand the ogres and dwarves because they do something different, but like, why have the swordsmen and the marauders?
Maybe if you didn't have them, it would force you to take more pikemen and make it more of a thematic list. I don't know.
So then you have the brilliantly named light cavalry unit. Light cavalry.
So why are... Oh, because they're short range.
They're short range, yeah.
So, because these are short range, do they get the Wolf Rider rules?
Yes, they do. Yeah, this is a sign of time. So if you look at the rules for number 4, light cavalry, Dogs of War armies make great use of expert light cavalry from all around. Empire Pistolists, who aren't light cavalry, because they've got 5-up armour. Arabian Desert Riders, Hobgoblin Wolf Riders, and Kislev Horde Archers are particularly adept at manoeuvring.
I'm sure some of those are 5-up saves.
So Pistolers are. The Desert Riders are not, I don't think. And Wolf Riders and Kislev are definitely not. Anyway, so they have range 15 of variety. So under Revolution changes, they're light cavalry, and they're the better version of light cavalry in terms of short range light cavalry, so they can run from anything.
And you can have 8 of those if you wanted to.
You could.
8 points each.
Yeah. Then you have your knights.
Canicades.
Yeah, your standard Empire knight, but you can take up to 4 units of them. Now you have your galloper guns, which are artillery pieces, but with 2 important changes. They cut down the range, so they're range 40, but they move 20. In very brief, that is a big difference between... galloper guns and regular artillery.
So, A, get them into position quicker.
Yes.
But B, 4 centimetres, 860.
A 4860. And you're soon caught on. To,
and there's no defensive piece to go with them.
No.
I mean, you can use light cavalry to protect them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not a big fan of them. But again, you feel like you have to take them.
Well, no, definitely. Like, I'll come onto my army list. It's like, why do you play Dogs of War? Well, you're going to have 2 years of Galloper guns.
But,
that's why.
But they're not canon, are they? If you could swap cannon, you'd swap for cannon.
Yeah, you would. You would, definitely. But you can't get cannons.
You can keep the movement, right? I love the range. Right, yeah, thank you.
They're lighter pieces.
What's next? Giant.
11. Where did that come in? Oh, yeah, it's a cannon, yeah.
Cannon, yeah.
So a giant, it's a monster.
Why did they get giants?
Well, they get giants because they can... Well, think of it... I mean, I would represent a giant not by... In a Dogs of War army, not by a giant model. I would represent it like elephants, personally. A couple of elephants on a base. That's how I would do it.
Because how would they get hold of a giant? Were they that easy to tame, giants?
Well, giants had things like they made use of tools and they wore clothes, so they can be rationalised, but they can at least communicate.
For money, yeah.
So, like, how about you get loads of food and you don't have to go out and fight for it, but if you do this for us, then we'll give you loads of food.
Oh, okay. So I imagined it more like a slave giant, but it's not. No. They wouldn't have the muscle to beat down a giant, would you? Enough ogres would beat down a giant, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Drop it into submission. Yeah. Humans ain't going to beat down a giant.
No.
Millions of them.
And you could take 2 giants in your list if you wanted to.
Jesus, I don't know why you need giants.
And then birdmen.
Oh, man, alive.
Okay, so this unit. Right, so they're infantry. But they're infantry that can fly. Because... So they can't. So they're basically an infantry, a 2-tax, 1-shot, range 30 crossbow unit. But can fly. But it can't. You can be pursued by. You can't use the wings when you're pursuing.
Like, so you're not monsters.
No.
So that means you're only charging with 3 attacks.
3 attacks, yes.
And you're long based.
Yes. Long edge. They're infantry.
And if you lose any combat, you're dead.
Because you can't... Well, you run, but you are pursued... You run as infantry. You don't run. You can't use the flying people. Nothing in the game is flyers. It's type flyers. It's type monster, isn't it? Yeah, that can fly. These are infantry that can fly.
Well, they have the flying rule.
Yeah, no, but like I say, but they have the yeah.
But they then have a negatrate that cancels it out.
It cancels it out immediately. So... I don't know what their role is, really.
Dying.
Yeah, dying. But they
top one unit because you can do things with flyers that you can't do with non-flyers.
They can still stand behind the thing you can't pursue.
And shoot them.
Sometimes. And then you have a Empire-style hero package, but with a general, a wizard and a hero, and a griffin. But have a unique character, got a hero called a paymaster, and he can have a pay wagon.
For 20 points.
For 20 points, which will mean that he's up +1 to command for that turn.
So it turns him into a second general.
Second general command.
For one turn.
Yeah, which is quite cool.
For 20 points.
Which is uniquely good. And their spell deck is Empire.
Empire.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I quite like the fact that it is very, 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 very similar to Empire. But then so is Witch Hunt.
It can be played very similar to Empire, yes. But it does have some differences. It is most similar to Empire than Empire.
For a start, it's got lots of infantry options that Empire don't have.
Yeah. Well, I say. Well, this really comes on to our army list and explain that it is. I mean, it's how has Revolution helped it? Well, Revolution's helped it overall that it lessened the impact of cavalry and they're more an infantry army.
And it made pikemen much better.
Made pikemen much better. Yeah.
So they're defended now against cavalry.
Because,
that's massive.
Yeah, because there's 2 rounds of combat in a turn. There's a good chance the pikemen are still alive. After 2 rounds of combat, it's a fairly okay chance. They might even if they hold the charge on the first round, they definitely are, aren't they? It's like, but if they lose it, they lose that first round of combat, they might just get away with being some stuff alive.
So what in the front? What is going to charge pikemen? Cavalry don't want to do it.
4 attack plus cavalry.
Well, they don't really want to do it.
Infantry
don't want to charge them in the front.
They're not defended.
Yeah, but it don't matter, they're on short bases. No. There's millions of them stabbing you.
It depends how your base is coming. But yeah, you're right. I mean, they're
not easy to take on in the front, like, with anything.
No, not really, no.
But that's right, that's what it should be.
I suppose...
A wall of pikes should be hard to get past.
Yeah. Even a single-stand monster would notice 9 attacks back. Well, they'd be terrored, wouldn't they?
6 attacks.
So 6 attacks back.
For 2 support. Probably.
I mean, a monster, like your giant or your
giant
greater demon is the thing to do with.
We could imagine a giant wading his way through.
Yeah, because you've seen that on TV.
Yeah, like, smashing the spear.
Yeah, just pick up that shield.
Well, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, so, do you want to do your list first then?
Yeah, cool. Because this goes hand in hand, really, with the highlighting revolution changes. So my armor list is so. I've gone for four pikemen, because you have to have four pikemen and four crossbowmen.
Why are you only having four?
I'll explain. You know, like, so I've then gone for a one unit of ogres, who I've given a sword of might to.
Of course.
Because if I need to attack with infantry, that's the best unit that can do it. You know, unit of ogres. I've then gone for a unit of dwarves with a banner of shielding. Because
you're getting so hooked on that fucking banner.
Because the dwarves have a 4+ armour, and that shielding makes them a 3+ armour, and they've got 4 hits. So they've got it on until they lose a stand. A 3+ armour save. So they're my hammer is the ogres, and my anvil is the dwarves.
Really?
I then go for 2 units of light cavalry, because they're very good. I go for 2 units of knights, 2 galloper guns, a giant, and a unit of birdmen. Then my character package is a general, a hero I've stuck on a griffin with a sword of fate, and a paymaster with a pay wagon and 2 wizards. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 characters.
Yep.
Now, it's got a low breakpoint, so you might take away...
What's your breakpoint?
9.
9?
Yeah, so you might take away the giant to fit in...
9?
Yeah. 9.
9?
9.
That's really low, man.
Yeah. So you might take away the giant to fit in cheaper infantry. So what I say, so for 150 points, which is the giant, you could do units of
swords. You look at mine.
I'm talking about mine.
Yeah, but I'll tell you how to get bigger and break than 9.
So, but what this army list would do would give you a real interesting toolbox on the table, because you've got... Right, okay, where do I place these different things to the most effect? You know, so am I stopping a charge that's difficult? Like, that's where the dwarves come into play. Where do I need to attack somewhere? That's where the ogres come into play. How can I use my light cavalry? I've got a terror causer, if terror is going to be an important thing in the game, to move around. To
Who's that, the giant?
No, the griffin.
And
you've also got... I've also got a giant as well for terror, if that's, again, that's important. So it's it would be... Dogs of War never stuck out to me as an army that I particularly wanted to play a lot with, but that would be an interesting list to try, because it would have it'd be interesting on the table. But I could not have included something of everything, like a unit of marauders, a unit of swordsmen. I wouldn't have, you know, like, it didn't seem to be need to be there. Like those, you could build interesting lists where, okay, I'm going to go for 4 units of marauders to make a medium infantry block, I suppose.
Well, you could build that however you want. Marauders, are they limited marauders?
By up to 4. Yeah, so
per 1,000?
2 per 1,000.
Oh, 2 per 1,000.
Okay. So you could have a full brigade of marauders, you know, if you wanted it. Yeah, it's just, but that, yeah, that's how I would go. That's what I would go with. And models wise would be really interesting, because there is warmonger miniatures, does guys with pikes, does, you know, so, but how, you know, as in there's a pike unit ready to go out there. You know, you could make, you know, and then it's easy, you know, ogres, black gate miniatures, dwarves, GW, light cavalry, you could use pistoliers as them if you wanted to, or horse archers.
Or wolf riders, or whatever the fuck you want.
The only thing that would be tricky to find, which doesn't stand out obviously, is galloper guns. Galloper guns and birdmen, where you just go to, Madison Millstrom does a unit of birdmen. Yeah,
but what are they going to look like, birdmen? They're going to look...
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah, well, it's a nutter with a crossbow and a pair of glider wings. Yeah, Madison Millstrom does do a thing that is at least a man with wings, and your galloper guns go historical for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, so my list, 4 pikemen.
Yep.
And I'm disappointed I only wanted to take 4 pikemen.
Because
I think it would be you should want to take 8 of them, really. They should be the core of the army. Because why else are you using? Nothing else on this list, apart from the galloper guns and the birdmen, is in any way specific to this list.
Yeah, but its uniqueness is the fact that you can use dwarves with Empire. You can use ogres with Empire.
The uniqueness is the fact you can use anything with anything. You can make this list 1,000 different ways.
Yeah.
Because there's so much variety in it. Mm-hmm. So, 4 pikemen, 4 crossbows. I've got 6 swordsmen.
All right, okay.
Because I want my breakup.
Yeah.
because I figure, you know, nothing in here is particular.
They're the cheapest infantry.
And we can all, like, the crossbows can be supported by swordsmen. The ogres can be supported by swordsmen. Because we've got two units of ogres.
Okay.
Yep. See, you get to support ogres with fucking swordsmen.
Yeah. It's a good combo.
45-point swordsmen. Yeah. You wouldn't want to support ogres with ogres. That's a numbo, mate. One light cav, because I just didn't have the points for more than that. Three knights. Two galloper guns. I feel like you've got to take them, even though they've never done fucking anything in the game for me. Whenever I've used them, whenever I've played against them, they've never done anything.
Die. Like,
if you're lucky, you'll get a shot off before they get run.
They get one round and then they're dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what's the point? You spend like 100 and...
No, you've done it too. You didn't say 170 points on that.
170 points, and you've got to protect them with something, and they're just going to get run over.
Yeah. Well, we've both done it.
Like... But if you're not going to play with them, what's the point of playing this list?
Exactly.
So, one birdman. Oh, my God. Because you've got a general, a hero, a paymaster with a pay wagon, two wizards. That's it.
Yes. Oh, okay. Your break?
No special 12.
Oh, okay.
23, 12.
It's interesting, because for it's good that we come up with two very different lists.
Well, you've got elite.
I've got elite. Yeah.
I've gone break 12.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which break 12 is what I'd be lucky to play.
Yeah.
So I've got a nice brigade of three knights and a cavalry. Mm-hmm. I've got the galloper guns. Maybe I'm going to have to lead the light cavalry to protect them.
I suppose, yeah.
I've got a brigade of crossbowmen.
Yeah.
Oh, two brigades of crossbowmen supported by swordsmen. A brigade of ogres with swordsmen and a brigade of pikemen.
Yeah.
And five heroes.
Yeah. And you still found three units of knights to get fit in as well. Yeah, so you've got more heavy cavalry than that.
But I still wouldn't fancy myself winning many games with it. I just don't know what it does that I'm that excited about.
I mean, like,
if I had an Empire Cannon, I'd feel a lot more confident.
So the thing is, like, with Dogs of War, so say you play Warmaster and you've used Empire for a long time. And yeah, so that's a finished project, and you just fancied to do something a little different that didn't need a lot more different units added into it. Then you can progress naturally to Dogs of War.
Yeah,
because you don't need many units that are different. Let's say I would represent the giant via some elephants.
I don't think a giant's needed.
No, probably not. But that's how I would do it model wise. You know, like I would rather than using a giant from like the GW's like Orcs and Goblins, for example. You know, something you could buy. On eBay, I would just do it a little bit differently.
I find whenever you use one giant, it just doesn't do enough.
You need
two. Now uses two. Yeah,
uses two.
And that's really when you get those two flying around in the front line, they can cause a lot of havoc. A lot more than one giant does, surprisingly.
Yeah.
It's weird, but true.
So we got a
sample list. I mean, the revolution changes, there weren't really very many.
Well, I think
the pikeman was the biggest.
Yeah, the pikeman's the biggest thing, but also overall revolution, the fact that we lessened the impact of cavalry in the two rounds of combat.
Helps them more. Because, and gave a boost to light cavalry.
Yeah, because both our armies we put together here. They what Dogs of War can't be is a total cavalry list.
Well, they can have quite a lot of cavalry, you know.
They can have a lot of light cavalry.
They can have eight light cavalry and four cavalry. That's quite a lot of stuff.
That's quite a lot of cavalry.
That's like more than half an army in cavalry.
I suppose there's another build to it, isn't it? Is you could do that. I have 8 units of light cavalry, 4 units of heavy cavalry, and some
8 units of pikemen.
8 units
of... and the characters.
No characters, yeah.
Some galloper guns. Maybe if you put galloper guns in the middle of pikemen, that would be quite painful to get into.
They fire a great shot. Yeah.
No, because like, the problem normally when you charge artillery is that they don't get many attacks back. But pikemen have a lot of attacks back. If you put them on a hill...
A unit of pikemen, two stands of galloper guns.
Yeah.
And then some more pikemen.
Unit of pikemen, another stand of pikemen. So they're intermingled.
Yeah.
And then you've got to get hit by a lot of stands of pikemen.
And trying to work out the maps, I suppose. Yeah, it might even save the guns, mightn't it?
You've got to put a lot of attacks on them. But they still get the grape shot as well.
Yeah.
So maybe intermingling. But I think there's more to it than it looks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's just... Mm-hmm. I think the problem with this game... It is a great game, but there are definitely tiers of army.
Yeah.
That we talk about. And one armies, when you get to tournament players, so hard to resist.
Well, I mean, something that's a subject we were talking, it has been floated since, was how do you, in a tournament set,
just take them out for certain players.
Or not, well, that, or you have to play with less points if you're using tier one, or... because I quite like that was quite cool. Like, so you've got more points for using the worst armies. So that sounds very like inducements, like in Blood Bowl, or yeah, or you stop some people from being allowed to use tier one armies.
I think probably the subtlest way would give people more points.
I think more points. Yeah, I think because arbitrary. If you're labeling saying like, well, okay, Janus, you can't use a tier one army. Well,
fair enough. He wouldn't be allowed to use tier two.
He wouldn't be allowed to use tier two. But it's like, where do you draw the line then? Like, as in, do you say Barry, you can't use a tier one army?
Well, the problem is if you don't say that, I'm going to get to tournament.
So it's like,
I don't know how much.
Where do you draw the line? I think points. I think, and it doesn't have to be a lot, but like 100.
Oh,
the best armies is 100 points less.
100's not enough.
Not enough. What would you?
I don't think so. Because if you tell me,
yeah,
that, like, say, an elf general costs 250 points, you'd still pay 250 points for him, wouldn't you?
So how much How much points would you say?
It would probably have to be like 1,800 points.
Ah, right, so 200 points difference.
And then maybe tier 1.5 is like 1,900 points. Tier 2, you get your
points. I mean, it'd be an interesting one to put into a tournament.
If you had
pack,
five tiers, yeah. you could definitely have your... Because, like, leadership 10 on dwarves and leadership 10 on elves is a different animal, you know. But dwarves aren't tier 1 just because they've got leadership 10 general.
No, they've got cannons. it would be interesting thing to see the results, see what people used.
But it would be a tournament pack, wouldn't it?
Yes.
So you wouldn't be changing any of the game rules?
No, it's only for that moment in time, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so... We'll see. Maybe that's something for 2020.
Yeah, 2020. Yeah.
We'll definitely put the cat amongst the pigeons.
Yeah,
you said these are the rules. We're just trying to try it out.
Yeah,
and you find the army that fits.
So
how much are you willing to pay?
So five increments. So the best armies are 1,800 points.
The tier two, the normals, like 2,000 points.
Yeah,
The majority of armies.
Majority of armies are at 2,000. And the worst ones are 2,100.
And then 2,200.
If they're really shit, 2,200.
Shit in it.
How shit is shit?
Like, I mean, like, goblins ain't that shit. You're the right player.
Yeah, but you're still limited to the FA charts.
Yeah, you're not getting any extra,
yeah,
are you?
Yeah, yeah. So, like...
Because you go to 2,200, you don't get, like,
yeah,
six wizards.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know.
Yeah, like, yeah. So, I mean, you just have a lot more goblins, isn't it?
Maybe.
It'd be quite fun, because then it would, like... You have to be careful with the armies that you chose for where they rank. But
it's
been quite fun.
Like, you're giving a big difference between 1,800 and 2,200, aren't you?
Yeah, it's 400 points.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot, yeah. Yeah,
it's a quarter of an army, nearly, once you take off command.
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah, but I definitely feel like, especially, I mean, this game isn't just a tournament game, so let's not get overly
hung up
about that. That's what they said about this Guild Ball thing. It's like, at the end of the day, they went really heavy on, like, tournament
stuff.
Yes, But then they realised that... Only 5% of people actually play tournaments and give a shit about tournaments.
Yeah.
95% of people are just kitchen top players, or whatever they're called. Club players.
The unrepresented masses.
Yeah, so that, I mean, mm-hmm. In those kind of games, you just do what you want. I'd happily play ogres or fucking anything in a friendly game, but in tournaments, you kind of... You want to bring your A game, don't you?
Well, that's the point. Yeah, you are playing to win, aren't you? Like, you know, win in as well sporting a way as you can. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, exactly.
Okay, so
we have to rank this army.
Well, it's hard to give them anything other than tier two.
We need more increments.
Because, well, I don't know what else I give them. It's purely
they're not tier
because.
Three, are they?
No, certainly not tier three. They're certainly not tier one. They've got enough variety that you could build this army.
Are they 2.5?
No, I don't think so.
All right, they're two.
Because if you think about it, right, would you rather have those flyers or no flyers? Well, I'll take these flyers. They've got rules. Empire don't have flyers.
No.
If you offered Empire these flyers, they'd bite your hand off.
Yeah, like, if you offered Empire some ogres, they'd bite
your hand off. Or dwarves.
Or dwarves. I'm like, yeah.
Or marauders, even.
Five up armor. That's better than six.
There are lots of things in here that Empire bite your hand off for.
Yeah.
Pikeman, they'd probably bite your hand off for. Giant. I don't know if Empire would or wouldn't. I don't know. But on the flip side, they wouldn't want to trade cannons for Galloper guns.
You really notice when you're using Galloper guns, that range 40.
Oh, it's a fucking pain in the arse.
Ooh, that's too close.
Especially with artillery.
Yeah. Like, I'm too close for that. Yeah.
It is too close. You start getting to the range where you're trying to shoot stuff and it's engaged already.
Yeah.
And you start running out of targets because the stuff you're trying to shoot is engaged.
Because, like, at range 60, you smash cavalry at optimum range, you knock them back, and they're three turns to encounter.
Three orders away.
Three orders away. with Galloper guns, it's only ever two.
Yeah. And with no defensive artillery
Like, they need like a Hellblaster.
Even Hellblaster's not.
I mean, I like your idea of putting them in amongst the pikemen.
You've got to do something, haven't you?
Yeah, I like that's something. That I can see that working. Yeah.
But that's why I said I think there's a lot to them. I think they suffer from bloat and like there's way too many fucking entries.
They don't like they don't need marauders. They don't need marauders.
They could probably,
I would delete those two units.
If you're going to make them have handgunners in their list, then they need to be an upgrade.
Actually, they don't need them anyway. No, they don't need handgunners.
But they could have been an upgrade.
Yes, yeah, yeah. I think that's the only way you would include them in an army list.
Because I think Empire only had eight, and handgunners was one of those.
Yeah.
So you couldn't lose those.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and a giant. But anyway, the fucking list is what... The list is... Yeah. There's quite a lot of fun in the list. You could play this list forever and have a lot of variety. And I think if you were being brave... If I was going to take them to a tournament, right?
Yeah.
I would not take Galloper guns.
Oh, okay.
They're going to give away break anyway.
So you would
just take more stuff, more knights, more whatever.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Or upgrade to a Terror character or something. Just because you're going to stress the whole game about trying to protect them.
Yes,
it's like when I play High Elves, I don't take the bolt thrower things.
That's why you don't win with them. No, they do. I think they have a place in the High Elf list. They're just as effective defending themselves as like.
Yeah, they're good. They're good at defending themselves.
And they have units that can like High Elf, like they can be supported well enough, around with Dark Elves, like Crossbowmen. You can draw enough firepower from other High Elves have spells that their spell deck is about shooting. It's like
it doesn't do anything for them.
No, but other units.
When they hit on three up and paid the extra, I loved them.
Yeah,
couldn't get enough of them.
Couldn't get enough of them.
Because on defensive fire, they were naughty.
Come at me.
The birds flying all there. The eagles flying all there.
Next.
That's 12 shots hit on three. That's nine wounds. 8 wounds, you've got 6 up army, you're dead. you're annihilated. There's nothing left of you.
Come in and charge me again.
There's one stand left. You've got 2 wounds on it.
Yeah, it's like... smash it up. Yeah.
When they hit on four, it's just see that difference between hitting on threes and hitting on fours is massive.
Big change for them.
But anyway, so maybe I will try and do them again. But they get run down by cavalry. It's the bolt throwers. Because they give you armor saves. But you got to get there.
Got to get there.
Right, so we haven't agreed on a tier. I've said tier two.
Because
there's only 3 tiers.
We have got a tier. We have got a 1.5 in there.
What, a sneaky 1.5? Who's that?
That you put dwarves as 1.5.
An Araby.
Yeah.
A dwarf.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Only because they had 2 specific rules that made them game-breaking. That one had a leadership 10 general and very good cannons and defensive fire and high armour.
Well, you're not going to make him 2.5. So
one had elephants.
Okay. So there we go.
Elephants is good.
So we're now on to 16.
Hey, man. You seen those 10 millimeter ogres, man? I gotta get me some of those sweet-ass 10 millimeter ogres, man.
Quit your jibber jabber, fool, and get yourself to blackgateminiatures.com. That's blackgateminiatures.com.
I've done a bit of work on my studio, so next time we're going to do a game.
No.
So we've got some extra lighting and a ceiling mount.
Mm-hmm.
Adjustable. Mm-hmm. So.
And we've also been challenged to a game.
We'll try and get that done at some point.
Mm-hmm.
We'll try and get that done.
Mm-hmm.
So next... I've got a half term, so I'm away. And then what are we going to do? We're going to do a video. That's what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't know what
we need to. We need to have casino dice for the orders. It was hard to see those dice. Like they weren't.
I don't think we need to have a dice camera.
Oh no, I like the dice camera, Barry. That's good.
Yeah, but where are you going to put it on the table?
What?
See, the problem with the dice camera is if we have a dice camera, then we can't have a camera tracking the game, a close in camera.
Right.
So I thought. I mean, as long as you use, like you said, casino, big dice for the orders, then what does it matter if you roll, like, 30 dice? As long as you announce...
Or you get in the habit of stating the result.
Yeah, announce it.
I'm going to do this order, I've rolled a 9, it's successful,
Or have the big dice, you can see it on the table when you roll them. But for the combat dice, you just, like, roll a load of dice, oh, I've got 8 hits, four wounds, yeah, whatever. I mean, that's fine. You can see the marker.
I like the dice camera. I thought it was cool.
But I think the game would be better if that second camera was on the action. So it came onto the table.
So it's hand-cammed, yeah.
Well, not like hand, but it's like it's on a mat. It's on like it's on a stand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's on the table. So when you're getting close up, because it's very hard to see from overhead.
Yeah, well, it is. But I've been looking a lot at war games on YouTube. Like a perfect example, because obviously 40K is by far the most popular thing.
Yeah, never heard of it.
Yeah, but like there's Siege tabletop war games. It's done by Siege Studios. Their production values are fantastic. Like lighting effects, like in the pre-up, like it's almost cinematic how they like set up the game.
Right.
It looks great, but when the game's on the table, it doesn't look. You know, it, like all the production values in the world make it hard to follow what's going on because you know you don't know. It's hard to track what the people are talking about next.
Yeah.
So, but Warmaster, at a glance, you know, not to the new player, but like because they'd struggle to understand it, but to a glance to someone who's at least familiar with the game system, they can see what's going on. Like you don't need to. You can see battle lines very well on Warmaster.
Yeah, I think
you don't need to see definitely. Like,
I think the overhead camera would be good for the battle lines.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you're having a combat and you put your dice in place and you're moving and stuff, I think it'd be nice to have a camera on that.
If the trade-off between the dice tray is a close-up of the action, like what we're focusing.
So there's always one in on the table looking at something, and then there's one.
Okay.
Then
let's try it. Let's see what happens. Right. Yeah, you know, I was say, and we just need to get in the habit of stating our command results.
Yeah, I think it'd be good. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be good. So we can either play. Oh, I don't know if we get. I think we'll have just about time to do one before the try was.
Oh, then I'd be using demons.
Okay, so maybe that's it.
I needed all the practice with demons I can get. Yeah,
like, they'll be interested to try them out.
Yeah, because I've never played demons before.
Well, they're a bit like Lizardmen.
Yeah, great.
They disappear a little bit.
Oh, but I'll be raising them more. Well, getting back.
So that'll be good. That'll be a good fight. So
plus, we'll demons would look good on camera because
they're red.
And pink.
Yeah, I think that's purple more than pink. So we'll do that in a couple of weeks. We're not gonna. We will stream the game.
Yeah.
But we'll record the podcast after the stream because otherwise it was way too much fucking effort and like stopping it, playing, recording and also the video must have looked like shit when we kept recording the podcast during the video.
I suppose, but it's learning, isn't it? We are learning.
Always learning. Right, and we'll do a Black Gate update next time. Things are ticking along.
You're doing the infantry next, aren't you, at the moment?
I did count it up. Most people have put back their surveys. I've got to do about 450 units of infantry. So there's 24 miniatures per stand, so 450 times 24 is a lot.
And the characters haven't arrived yet?
Characters haven't arrived, the flyers haven't arrived, chariots haven't arrived. But they're in sculpting.
Were they in wave one?
Yeah,
where weren't they?
You ordered some.
I don't remember. Of course, but like they're not here yet.
No, so if for example, I'm only using 9-inch pies, so each pie produces 20 miniatures.
Yeah, of course they are. Yeah, like because I remember thinking, you can make a decent list out of wave one. Yeah,
they're not here yet.
I'm currently bidding on some demon flyers. But would they be here in time for me to use them? I don't know.
So it's quite a few spins.
Yeah.
My machine that I'm using, the one that does well for this scale, is quite an involved process.
These are spares you can have back because I fitted four hounds on a base, and where they took a character, where they took the guy with the whip.
You might want to put these in your character bases.
Oh yeah, that's true. Actually, that's true. I'll keep all of them.
Tickety boo, and then after this try whiz, I'm going to get focused on the event in Bruno, so that's important to talk about.
Yeah,
that's coming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I've got dice, I've got a miniature, Slayer miniature on a dragon's head. I'm going to have a set of books. I've got Alex working on a game tracker.
Yeah.
So you didn't know about this.
I did not know about that.
So it's going to be a nice little, you know, because we use the little bit. Well, you'll see it when we play the game. I have a little pair of to put the dice in. It's going to be like a single piece.
Ooh.
And it'll have like halves and full breaks.
Who's doing that for you,
Alex? The guy that Alex Clark that does the
right,
make it out of wood and it's had the logo in the middle.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
so I think it's about
Nice and big. Make it
I
big.
I think it's fair. Yeah, it'd be nice. It'd be nice. Like a game truck.
Yeah.
It won't track turn because turns don't really matter. Nothing happens on turns. So, but it'd be good. So that's another little free gift.
Cool. Useful. Yeah.
Hopefully, but I'll have to prod him actually. He hasn't come back to me for a little while. I did the design and measured it all up and sent it to him. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll give him a prod. Mm-hmm. And then I'll start. I'm not quite as fucking, what's the word? Brass necked as Paul. Brass necked, are they? Thick skin? With tapping people up for prizes.
Oh, okay.
Well, I will ask people if anybody wants to put anything, because it'll be a bag for each punter, so it won't be like. There'll be no differentiation in the bags. Yeah. Everybody will get the same stuff.
Yeah.
So
if
anybody wants to put, give me a dozen of something to put one in each bag to get punters.
Right, okay.
I'll tap them up sometime when I get a free 10 minutes. Uh-huh. That's it. So we're going to record in a couple of weeks.
Cool.
You can get us at the Facebook page or warmuster.podcast@googlemail.com.
I do need the demon practice.
You'd be interested.
Mm.
You'll see.
I'll smash you with my great.
I tell you that there is nothing worse. It's hard to describe. I haven't played with them a lot, but there is nothing worse than having a 2-stand unit and rolling a 1. It's fucking really fucking bad. It's really shit.
But then you got summon demons on a 4+.
Yeah, but that's after the movement phase.
Get back.
Listen, man. It certainly makes this unit virtually unorderable.
Well, that's
you've only got 3 characters, haven't you?
3 wizards.
You've taken hero as well. You've taken So you've got 4 characters.
4 characters, yeah. But you can only have 3 wizards.
Well, you're general and 2.
General.
And then a hero.
Yeah.
It stings, man. It stings. It's you wouldn't realise how. Because that's half a break.
You don't want it in the gas.
It's like 1 in 6.
Could you? So I suppose you can't, with a demon list, you can't cast summon demons on the unit twice, can you?
No?
In the same turn, because no unit can be affected by the same spell.
So even if you get it back up to 2, you got to roll again.
Okay, bleed down to 1. Ah! Well, then you're healing 2 stands to back to 3. Yeah, if they go to 1, you forget about them. They're dead.
No, you can't, because if they brought that, cost you a point.
I don't know what I'm doing.
It's really bad.
I've never used demons.
There came a point in the game the last time I used them. It's quite 2/3 of the way through, and my army just started disappearing. It's costing me break in my own turn. I'm not even fighting, and the stuff's going away.
It's disappearing. Oh.
But you would rather it be underpowered than overpowered.
Oh, massively, massively.
Because demons have the potential to destroy games.
Always.
Like elves. Elves and demons.
Yeah. Elves and demons, man. I mean, I'm still jaded after playing a demon army in a fantasy tournament in, 7th edition or something? I could not see how my Skaven could have won. Demons were so good. invulnerable saves across the board.
Immune psychology.
It was so good.
Fair.
All causing fear and terror. Oh.
I think the very first time I played them before Revolution, I think on a 6 you got back a stand. I think we'll have to go back and look at. I think that was good. And you were allowed 5 wizards.
Yeah.
That was good. I still lost. But you felt in control here. 5 turns, 5 spams.
5 spams, more demons.
I think it's a 5 up, or maybe. Yeah. But anyway, so it's much harder now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you really suck. Especially if you were fighting against something like Bretonnian.
Yeah.
So they, like I said, with my ogres, they're shooting off stands.
Yeah.
So you lose a stand. Now suddenly you're rolling.
Definitely.
It's like,
I can pretend it's going to be easy, but what it will do is showcase your stuff.
Okay,
that's why I'm doing it.
So we'll see it in a couple of weeks. Have a nice time.
Would you like to know more?